and now my geese have deserted me. My lovely, honking, hissing, strutting, spitting geese have gone AWOL. When we first moved into our snug little cottage next to the coppice and the old bumbling brook, Winston brought these geese back home and... Winston has run away too. He's vanished. The light of my life has been wantonly doused and snuffed out cruelly. The heartbeat of my existence clangs hollowly and my soul shrieks silently. My limbs congeal with misery and loneliness. Gosh, that's rather good, isn't it? Very literary. Do you know, I think I could be a proper writer, if I put my mind to it. Well, I've got all the attributes. I like words, provided they're not too long. I like observing people, provided they don't pick their noses. And I've got the most terrific imagination when it comes to making excuses for bringing back my library books late. I know I haven't got a word processor, but... Oh, Winston, my lovely, lovely nut-brown randy poacher, with your fat boozer's belly and the blue-chipped gap between your two front teeth. Where are you? Can you hear me calling to you over the ether? Speak to me, Winston. Oh, please, please speak to me.
I'm in Kingston. Kingston-upon-Thames. Robin Hill, and I'm stalking this lady in grey with amber golden hair and snow-white shoulders, and in the quivering coppice I'm calling out to her, Irene, Irene, it's me, good old Winston. There ain't no need to bother your arse about Soames. You got me now, my beauty. You got good old Winston to tickle your delights and savour your desires.
Where is he? Where on earth has he got to?
Well, he's probably beetled off to the Oriental, boy.
What?
Oh, yes. Best place for a chap when he's feeling down in the dumps of the Orient. Oodles and oodles of loose, compliant women there, you see.
Father, for Pete's sake!
What's the matter? There's nothing wrong with loose women. The whole history of the British Empire was founded on loose women. Native women with long, supple necks and pink-budded lips thrashing and writhing in the beds of lonely district commissioners. Half-chat concubines with swaying hips and clawing fingers wrapping their naked loins round coarse-jowled scions of the Raj, bloated with a surfeit of mim-salves and sticky children.
Father! You're dribbling into your gentleman's relish again.
Well, I'm only trying to be helpful to Nancy in her hour of need. I'm sure she'd rather Winston were in the Orient than cavorting under a hedgerow, ripping the bloomers off a pumpkin-bellied country wench with plum-red nipples and... Oh, my God, how I hate Gardner's question time.
I went into the kitchen. William was sitting at the old scrubbed oak table, sticking cuttings into his scrapbook.
Hello, Nancy. Not found Winston, then?
No, I haven't. And what's it got to do with you, you pathetic, snivelling, feeble little runt?
I like it when you heap abuse on me, Nancy.
What?
When I was in Sweden, my young lady used to heap abuse on me. It's Swedish. I couldn't understand a word she said, but I did manage to get the gist of it. Especially when she threw hard-boiled eggs at me and snarled like a wolverine.
Where is he, William?
Well, knowing him, I expect he's cavorting under a hedgerow with some...
Thank you, William. Thank you very much indeed, you malignant, sour-lipped, pinch-gutted little turd.
Oh, more, Nancy. More, more, more.
I went into the garden, and I howled softly at the top of my voice. Winston, where are you? Speak to me, my love.
I'm in Paris. I'm in Rome. I'm in a flying boat bound for the Nile. I'm deep in the jungle, wrapped in okapi skins, and there's these pygmy bints wafting my toenails with parrot feathers and bathing my buttocks in the milk of jackdaws and crows.
Nothing. I can't hear a word. Winston. Winston, where are you?
I'm back at Robin Hill. The larks sing and soar. Lady in grey. I takes her into the coppice. In the lee of the old log, we lays ourselves down side by side. I takes off her blouse. I takes off her skirt. I takes off her stockings and I takes off her shoes. Irene. Irene, I whispers to her soft and passionate. Bugger off, you barmy chuff, she says. You're in the wrong bleeding story, ain't you?
That evening, I went up to the front bedroom to sit with Rosie. The cast had been removed from her broken leg. Her blonde hair glowed and her eyes sparkled.
It's wonderful to see you looking so well, Rosie. You look beautiful. You look so happy, so contented.
Do you know why?
Is it the laxatives?
No, it's because I've fallen in love with Richard.
Richard? Who's Richard?
The doctor who comes to see to my leg.
Oh, Dr. Shillingore. But he's married, Rosie. He's got a wife, three children, and a Shetland sheepdog.
I know, but he's not happy.
How do you know?
He told me.
Well, that's no proof. Good grief, Rosie. Men will tell you anything to get their wicked way with you. It was the ruination of the land army during the last war. That's why they never allowed wrens on minesweepers. That golf professional I knew in Hoylake was forever telling me how unhappy he was with his caddy. He said they'd nothing in common. He said he didn't understand him. He said...
As soon as I'm mobile, we're going to run away.
Where to?
Well, we thought we might...
I don't care. I couldn't care less about you and your bloody doctor with his stealthy ears and his smarming teeth. It's me I care about. Me, Nancy, good old Nancy. I've lost the one man in the world I've ever loved. The one man I've ever wanted to marry. The one man I've ever wanted to sacrifice my life for. He's gone, and I don't know where he is. God rot you, Rosie. Winston. Winston, where are you?
I'm trying to find myself a story to be in, ain't I? That old Madame Bovary, well, she'd give me the bum's rush. I applied in triplicate to be in Wuthering Heights, but they told me there was no vacancies at the moment, but they might be able to fit me in as a bookmark if I come back next Monday. Who knows where I'll end up. I'll end up being a bleeding camel in seven pillars of bleeding wisdom. Nancy. Nancy, come and find me, Nancy. Come and set me free. I'm waiting for you. I wants you. I desires you.
Winston? Winston, did I hear your voice? I stood in the blackness of the midnight garden, and I strained every muscle in my ear. I held my breath. I quivered my nostrils. But I heard nothing of his voice. All I heard was the pumping of my heart and the flicker-flack of a jacksnipe's wings.
I got a job, Nancy. They fixed me up in a book. I signed on at the old job seeker's lock, and they asked me if I got any religious experience of a sacerdotal nature. Course I has, I says. I once seen a mate of mine fiddling with his dee-dahs on songs of praise from Yeovil Junction. Well, you could see they was impressed. They snapped me up straight away and immediate and offered me a part in the Bible. Lo and behold. Yeah, I am playing the part of lo and behold. I'm never out of the action, look. And lo and behold, there was an outbreak of gumboils in Wolverhampton. That's me. Lo and behold. If I plays my cards right, missus, I reckon as I could be next in line for playing a load of plankton in Jonah and the Whale.
I got up very early next morning. As I passed by the back bedroom, I heard voices. William's and Father's voices. I couldn't help it, I didn't mean to. But I tiptoed along the landing and put my ear to the bedroom door. I listened. What on earth were they talking about?
We've got Nancy right where we want her, Simon.
William, Father. Hmm? The name's William.
So it is, by Jove. And it suits you very well.
Thank you.
We were going to call you Maureen.
But then I turned out to be a boy.
No, you turned out to be absolutely detestable.
Why have we got Nancy where we want her, Father?
Because I know where Winston is.
You? How?
No, because it was I who told him to stay the adult. It was I who told him where to go.
Where?
Rangoon.
Rangoon?
Or was it Luang Prabang? I don't suppose it matters unless you're a stickler for geography.
I don't think I'm quite with you, Father.
No, you never were. That's the whole trouble in your life, Aubrey.
William! The name's William!
You've never cottoned on, have you? Never had the remotest idea of what life is all about?
I have.
When?
One morning. In the spring. I saw Morris Minor run over a swallow. I thought to myself, that swallow's flown here all the way from Africa. It's flown across oceans and deserts and mountains. And now, on its first day here, all exhausted and triumphant, it's run over by a Morris Minor driven by an old man in a flat cap sucking at a metal-stemmed pipe. And I thought to myself, that's what life is all about.
He'll never come back.
Who?
Winston. One whiff of the Orient and a man is lost forever to Winterleaf Gunner. I've got her in my power. If she comes to me asking where he is, I'll pretend I know nothing. But one day I might say to her, it is possible that I know where Winston is, old boy. I might consider telling you, but on one condition. You'll give me extra rations of Twignets with my brekker. See? See how I've got her in the palm of my hand, Cedric?
I didn't hear a word of what they said. It wouldn't have been important. William was probably telling Father all about unmanned level crossings in Sweden. I went downstairs to the kitchen and made myself breakfast. 2 rounds of thinly cut wholemeal toast and a mug of strong black tea. Winston and I used to sit in the kitchen in those blissful days when we were alone. We'd sit there in the early morning, after a night rich and juicy with love. We'd sit there in the afternoon, and the swallows would twitter, and there'd be a ghastly play on Radio 4, all about Scottish clansmen kicking the living daylights out of each other and making popping noises on the microphone. We'd sit there in the evening, and soft owls would hoot, and on the half-muted television in the front parlour, they'd be dropping their H's and slurping their tea on Coronation Street. Sometimes we'd sit there all night. We'd hardly speak. We'd just snuggle ourselves in our happiness like squirrels in their winter dray. And sometimes, quite without warning, Winston would put his hand softly on my badongas, my breast sort of thing, and he'd whisper,
Nancy. Nancy.
Say it again, Winston.
Nancy.
Say it again, Winston. Say it again.
Nancy.
What, Winston? What?
You've got the most terrible great bogey hanging from your shank piece, missus.
The doctor came round at 10 o'clock. He smelled of dog and damp rusks. Before he went up to see Rosie, he told me something. Quite casually, he told me he'd been passing by Winston's house, and outside the front door he'd seen a flock of geese honking and spitting, and before he could finish, I leapt out of my chair. I raced through the village helter-skelter. I didn't stop until I came to Winston's house, and sure enough, clustered round the front door were the geese. My geese! And they were livid. They were furious. They honked, they spat, their eyes spluttered with anger, and I knew at once that Winston was inside the house. The geese had always hated him. They hated him with passion and fury, just like I hated him then. I chuckered them under their chins as they raised their heads to me and looked at me all gooey with their silly goosey eyes. And then I threw back my shoulders, stuck out my chest, and marched down the path. There was a large splintered hole in the front door. I bent down and bellowed through it. Winston! Winston Hayballs! Come out this minute! No response. I kicked out at the door and shouted again. Winston, I know you're in there! Show yourself, you bastard! An upstairs window opened, and a woman stuck out her head. Her eyes were puffed and poached. Her lower teeth were missing. She looked down at me silently for a moment, and then she shouted, "Piss off! You ain't wanted round here!" At that moment the front door opened, and Winston stepped outside. Before I could speak, he picked up a clod of earth and hurled it at the woman in the upstairs window. It hit her flush on the nose, and she shook her head and grunted like a sea lion, and Winston smiled sweetly and said,
My wife. I don't think you ever met her before.
I opened my mouth to speak, but he grabbed me firmly by the arm and led me away. He was almost frog-marching me. I cried out with pain, but he took no notice. His grip was so violent, his pace was so swift, that at times my feet weren't touching the ground. He took me to the wood at the back of his house, where long ago on the day of the village fete we had lain together under the old beech tree and... well, we... He stood facing me. His chest was heaving. His fists were clenched and his cheeks were churning. And then suddenly he relaxed. He looked at me with a great grin and he said...
Well then, missus, this is a caper, innit?
How could you, Winston? How could you do this to me?
Do what, missus?
Oh, Winston, Winston, Winston.
You bastard, you out-and-out swine!
I started pummeling at his chest with my fists. I scratched at him, I clawed at him, I tried to knee him in the groin. But his strong arms kept me away and he just looked into my eyes, smiling and chuckling softly to himself.
Well, Nancy, you and I've got your dander up, ain't you? I loves it when you got your dander up and your eyes are flashing and your bedongers are heaving. Look, oh, Nancy, come on, my old wingsy bash, let's lie together under this old beech and we'll...
You betrayed me, Winston.
Betrayed you, missus? What are you talking about?
You went back to live with your wife. All those stories you told me about her... She made your life a misery. She was fat, she was ugly, she was uncaring, she was dirty and slovenly. She didn't know the capital of Lima.
Peru, Nancy, you got it wrong. Peru is a country and its capital is Lima.
I don't care what the bloody capital is. Countries like that have no right to have capitals. You told me lies, Winston. You told me you hated your wife. You told me you'd never speak to her again in the whole of your life, and now you've gone back to live with her.
No, I ain't, Nancy. Well, not in the carnal sense, not in the legalistic sense of demanding my conjugal nookie.
What?
I went back there to live as a lodger.
What?
My wife, Nancy, my missus, look, as you well know, I've got her so spliced to old Gilbert Spurfield of the Ironmongers with unlimited use of his offermore and his marital endowment sort of thing. So that on that score, I ain't got no rights, nor even no desire, to claim connubial rights of an intimate leg over nature. And perish the thought, if I may say so.
I haven't the faintest idea what you're talking about, Winston.
It's very simple, Nancy. She give me the back bedroom free of charge, provided I mended the mangle, sandpapered the seat on the outside bogs, and didn't knock on the wall whilst they was having their nookie.
And did you?
Well, I mended the mangle and sandpapered the seat.
Oh, Winston, why didn't you tell me where you were? I was worried sick about you. I couldn't sleep at night.
Neither could I, missus. When them two's at it, it is like listening to a gang of airy-ass stevedores trying to dock HMS Ark Royal and a lock on the Avon Canal. Talk about...
I'm not interested in that, Winston. I don't want to hear any more about it, right?
Right, missus.
I didn't sleep at night, Winston, because I was... pining for you. I wanted to cuddle you and hold you in my arms and stroke your hair and run my fingers up and down your spine and press my body deep into yours and feel your fat boozer's belly nuzzling against my breast.
I see.
And all the time you were in the village sleeping under the same roof as your wife. Why, Winston, why?
Because I wanted to be near you.
But if you hadn't run away and stayed at home, you'd have been right on top of me, wouldn't you?
Well, we don't have to go home to get in that position, do we, Nancy? I mean to say, we got this old beech tree here, and there ain't much standing water on the ground, and... Do you want to know why I ran away, Nancy?
Yes, tell me.
On account of your family.
My family?
Your family, Nancy. God blimey, Charlie, missus, I ain't never got them out of my hair. Wherever we goes, they're sure to follow. We sets up home here. We make it all snug and secure. We make plans for our wedding on the day of the village fete. We're happy. We're contented. We don't want nothing else out of life no more but our own company on our own Jack Jones sort of thing. And then what happens? The old bleeding lot of them turns up and I'm turfed out of my bed and forced to live in the potting shed.
No, Winston, it won't always be like that. Just as soon as they get themselves sorted out, they'll go and we'll be left on our own again.
That's what you always says, Nancy, but it never happens. What about our honeymoon night? I'll tell you what it'll be like. We'll creep all tremulous and quivering with anticipation into the old bridal suite sort of thing. I'll take off your clothes. You'll take off mine. We'll slip softly between the snow-white sheets. And what'll we find?
I don't know, Winston. Tell me.
Your old dad curled up at the bottom of the bed, smoking his pipe. And he'll say, "What ho, chaps, don't mind me. Keep up the good work." Well, I don't mind ignoring him as long as he don't set the mattress alight. But I bloody well object to Rosie standing there while we're on the job watching us and saying in that bossy, know-all voice of hers, "You don't do it that way. You do it this way." And I'm not having William standing there next to her playing with his bold bearings and saying, "Well, I've learned all there is to know about level crossings. Now it's my chance to learn all there is to know about couplings." I won't stand for it, Nancy. Do you understand me, missus? I will not stand for it, and that's a fact without a shadow of a doubt.
Come home with me, Winston.
What?
Come home with me. Things have changed. It's not the same now.
In what way?
Rosie's going to run away with the doctor.
On the National Health, or is she going private?
She didn't say.
Well, if she's behind with her payments to Booper, running away with the doctor ain't going to solve nothing, is it?
No, I don't suppose it will.
And what about William?
Yes. Well, I'm sure they'd welcome him back in Sweden with open arms if he'd promised to get his sinuses seen to. And if that fails, there's always Tibet, isn't there?
And your father, your old dad, look. What about him?
Poor father. Do you know what he called me yesterday? He called me Dermot. Why did he call me Dermot? Celia. Now that would have been lovely. I've always wanted to be called Celia. Ever since I saw Trevor Howard in Brief Expectations. Why are you smiling, Winston? Why are you chuckling? Does it mean you're going...
Yes, Nancy. Yes. You wait here, missus. I'll just nip back and collect my gear. You don't fancy a offer mower just ripe and ready for nicking, do you? It wouldn't have come in handy giving your old dad a quick tone up in the bath, look.
He smiled again. He kissed me on the neck. It made my ears tingle. Then he was gone. He was away for ages and ages, and I panicked. What if he'd hanged himself by accident on Gilbert Spurfield's endowments? What if he'd garrotted himself on the mangle? What
Hello
if...
there, Nancy. What do you reckon, then? Not a lot.
Oh, Winston, you're back. I thought you might have...
You might have been tempted, Nancy.
Well, yes. You know, one last bash just for the sake of old times.
No, Nancy. Not me. Not old Winston. I did take a peep at her, mind you, while she was sat in the kitchen, soaking her feet with her kecks off and descaling her teeth with a lavatory brush. And I thought to myself, I thought, play your cards right, missus, and I could easy get you the part of Chief Stoker in Swallows and Amazons.
He took hold of my hand, and he led me back to the cottage. When we got there, Rosie had managed to drag herself down to the front parlour, and she was sitting there with Father and William. They were talking very animatedly. We crept up to the window, snuggled our ears close to the glass, and listened in to what they were saying.
My name is not Marigold, Father. My name is Rosie. I object most violently to being called Marigold.
And I object to being called Hector.
All right, all right. What a fuss, what a palaver. You're just like your mother when she was alive. She always objected to being called Hermione.
But that was her name.
Yes, I know. That was precisely what was so damnable about being married to her.
I don't think I quite follow you, Father.
Well, perfectly simple old boy. If I'd realised she was called Hermione before I married her, I'd never have dreamed of tying the conjugal knot.
Father?
Yes, I was.
What did you call Mother before you married her?
Verona.
Why Verona?
Well, because that's the name she always answered to.
Have you got the distinct feeling that we're flogging a dead horse, William?
What?
I said, have you got the...
Maybe I should have been called Hector.
What?
My life might have turned out so differently. Hector Ebsen. It has a noble ring to it. It's the name of a man of substance.
The only substance you're made of, matey, is jelly.
Gwyndaf Ebsen. Brewster Ebsen III. Trader Ebsen Jr. Fearfully pleasant old boy. Frightfully conducive.
And at that, Rosie stood up, walked slowly to William, and cradled him in her arms. And Father smiled and said,
Ah, well done, chaps, well done. Has anyone seen Fiona and Godfrey?
And we looked at each other, Winston and I, and we smiled at each other. And it was a long, slow, loving smile. And Winston said,
I loves you, my old Wingsy Bash. I loves you with all my heart, Fiona.
And he cackled. And I cackled too. And hand in hand we rushed into the house. And Rosie sprang to her feet and said,
Winston, you're back! How wonderful to see you!
And William said,
terrific to have you back, Winston, old boy. Be a good chap and rustle me up some scrambled eggs and grilled mushrooms, will you?
And Winston said,
bugger off.
And Father said,
Wucko, Ernie, don't mind me, carry on the good work.
And I said,
right, you lot, there's a new regime round here. From now on, Winston is master of the house. He is not your slave, he is not your chattel. You do as he says, we all do as he says.
Even you, Nancy?
Even me, Rosie. Now then, have I made myself perfectly clear?
But of course, Nancy. Right then, Winston, fire away. Be master of the house.
Certainly, Rosie, and I'll start with you.
Oh, I say, I am flattered. So what can I do for you?
You can sling your hook straight away on the media and move out from the front bedroom. Look, Nancy and I are moving in there directly and your presence is no longer required.
Yes, but...
You can move into the back bedroom.
With me and Father?
No, William, your father, your old dad, look, he's moving into the summer house. And you, my little hollow-shinned scrothead... are moving into the potting shed, and I hope she'll be very happy with my old mate, the balding mouse.
It was wonderful. It was marvellous. It was so masterful. We didn't get a peep out of them, not a squeak. There and then they left the front parlour and repaired to their new sleeping quarters, and Winston led me upstairs to the front bedroom, and he wrapped himself around me, and I felt his fat boozer's belly snuggling into my thighs. He whispered into my ear.
Nancy. Nancy.
Say it again, Winston.
Nancy. Nancy.
Oh, yes, Winston. What is it? What is it, my love?
I think there's someone in the bottom of the bed.
What?
Don't worry, Mrs. No need to fret. It's only Maureen, look.